no
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, our hour of radio drama begins with Favorite Story. From January 20th, 1948, we'll hear The Light That Failed. After that, it's Bold Venture and Sunken Spanish Gold. Their story from August 13th, 1951.
This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Many distinguished men and women have selected their favorite stories for this series, and we're especially proud to have this week's story selector here in the studio with us. He's our literary advisor on Favorite Story and a very famous figure in the world of books. I dare say you'll find his name on many volumes in your own library. Here he is, author, explorer, editor, world traveler, Mr. George Palmer Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. It's a pleasure to choose a favorite story of my own to be broadcast in this half hour. It's Rudyard Kipling's The Light That Failed. In this favorite story production, ladies and gentlemen, Ronald Coleman will be heard as Dick Heldar, the same role he created for the screen. And co-starring with him are two lovely ladies from motion pictures in the theater, Miss Heather Angel and Miss Edna Best. So here it is, Act One of Rudyard Kipling's The Light That Failed.
My name's Torpenhow. That's a deuce of a name for a man to carry through life with him, isn't it? But most people call me Torp. I'm a war correspondent for a London newspaper syndicate. I've been covering the fighting up the Nile in the Egyptian Sudan. It was there that I met the most remarkable man that I have ever known, Dick Heldar. He was an artist drawing action sketches of the campaign against the Fuzzy Wuzzy. One night, we were encamped with the Camel Corps out under the desert sky, not far from Khartoum.
Rise into...
Oh, why don't you turn in? Dick, it's past midnight.
Have to finish this picture first.
You work too hard. No newspaper expects a man to send back 10 sketches a day.
I know, but there's so much to draw. Think the column on the march. The star shell bursting over the camp at Berbera. And look at this one, Tor. A soldier lying dead outside Suakin in the moonlight.
They're jolly good sketches, Dick, my boy.
I hope they like them back in England.
Like them? Well, they're fools if they don't. Nobody's ever sent back such pictures as yours. They live, they move.
Yes, it were nice to have a taste of success, wouldn't it? After all these months of sand gritting in your teeth.
Tell me something, Dick. What are you running away from?
Running away?
Every Englishman out here on the desert is running away from something. A woman, usually.
No, bad guess, Torp. There's never been any woman in my life. Well, unless it would be Maisie. I'd almost forgotten about Maisie.
Who is Maisie?
Just a little girl with pigtails. A proud pug nose with freckles all over it. Maisie and I were brought up together. As orphans. I used to fancy that she and I were in love. I wonder what became of her.
Married to a butcher's boy, no doubt.
Oh, no, not Maisie.
Listen.
Something moving. Out there in the scrub.
the Fuzzies.
We're ambushed.
Quick, the camp. They're charging.
Fuzzies, drugs are full of them.
Going to be hand to hand, Torp.
Here they come.
Yeah.
Look out, Torp. That devil's
right on top of you. Get
down. You must go in the
camp. Get away, you brute.
Oh, you're hit rather badly, old man. It's a sword cut across the forehead.
Did we throw them back, Tom?
Yes, they won't attack again. You know, you saved my life when that big fellow was rushing down on me and you... Dick. Dick, steady, old man.
Here, stretch your bear up. Over here, give me a hand.
Tommy, sir, come in.
Now, careful.
Mind his head. I'll mind his head,
sir.
Leave it to me,
Maisie.
Sir.
Where are you, Maisie?
Behold a phenomenon. Here is a man, presumably human, who mentions the name of one woman only. Now, here, Dick, have a sip from my canteen.
Thank you, Maisie.
It was a bad gash, just above the eye. But Dick recovered. And when the war was over, he came back to London to find himself famous. We took lodgings in the same house in London, a rickety affair overlooking the river. And each evening, Dick would take my fox terrier, Binky, for a walk in the park. And it was on one of these walks that the inevitable happened.
Binky! Binky, where the deuce are you, Bink?
Can't find you in this piece, soup fog. I beg your pardon, miss.
Yes?
Have you seen a small white fox terrier with a... Maisie.
What?
Well, it is Maisie, isn't it?
How did you know my name?
I'm Dick. Dick Heldar.
Dick? Oh, well, why, this is a surprise.
You've not changed.
Well, nor have you.
I'd have known you anywhere, Maisie. Even in a London fog. How long's it been?
Oh, school days.
Oh, only a few centuries. Where do you live?
Oh, I'm in the Black North, St. John's Wood. I'm very busy.
Oh? What do you do?
I paint a great deal. I've got my own studio.
Do you sell much?
Now and again, not often.
I'm painting, too.
Oh, of course. I've seen your sketches in the papers. The war in Egypt and all those horrid things.
You don't like them, eh?
They seem to be all blood and thunder. Oh, how did you get that scar on your forehead?
Oh, it's nothing. Fuzzy gave it to me in the Sudan. Where can I see you, Maisie?
I'm at 14 Elm Street, but I work every day.
Oh, not on Sundays. I'll come by for tea this Sunday, huh? You can show me your work, and perhaps I can help you.
More tea?
Oh, thank you, Maisie. No more.
Dick, I wonder if I might show you a canvas of mine.
Yes, I'd love to see one.
It's a fancy head. I call it Melancholia. Here she is. She was a woman, and she'd suffered a great deal, till she couldn't suffer any more. Then she began to laugh at it all, and I painted her. Oh, but, Dick, it won't come.
Melancholia, eh?
Do you like it?
Oh, there's something grim and Dutch about your painting that I like. The color's good, but you want form. And there's bad modeling there. That chin.
Yes, I know, but how can I make it come?
Give up this flashy stuff and drill yourself on line. Line work, that's what you need.
Oh, I hate all that, oh, Dick. I'm selfish. I want success.
Ah, success is nothing. Maisie, the whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel, isn't worth one of the hours we spent together back in the school days. You're alone now, and I'm alone. Come to me instead, darling.
What about my work?
I'll help you, Maisie. You see, I'm still in love with you.
Oh, Dick, be sensible.
You must forgive a man when he's in love. He's always a nuisance. Maisie, come with me. Come across the sea and be happy. I know so many places.
islands you can reach after weeks of crashing through water black as marble. There's a waterfall 300 feet high, like a sliver of green jade laced with silver. And millions of wild bees live up in the rocks. And an ivory white servant will sling you a long yellow hammock. And you put your feet up and hear the bees hum and the water fall until you go to sleep.
I'd never make you happy, Dick. I'm strange. When we were children together, we had nothing for ourselves. Ever since those days, I've been fighting to get something for my very own.
You need love, Maisie. Someone to care for.
I've tried. Honestly. You're the best friend I have, Dick. But I can't really care for anyone.
Well, love's like line work. Just keep at it long enough and it's sure to come.
Dick didn't tell me much about his meetings with Maisie, but I knew something was wrong. He slept his work, forgot his meals, complained of frightful headaches. I'd have given my right arm for Dick if it could help him, but there was nothing I could do. And then one night I found a young girl huddled in the doorway just outside our diggings. She'd fainted from hunger, and I carried her into the house, and I was trying to bring her around in spite of the protests of our fox terrier, Mr. Binkle.
Oh, now, see here, Bink. Let's show the lady a few manners. Hmm? She's had a hard time.
Hello.
Oh, is that you, Dick? Come in here, will you? Give me a hand with this girl.
Well, for the... Why, Top, the moment my back's turned.
Oh, no. She was lying outside in the cold. She's nearly dark. Binky.
Now, Bink knows too much about women. Why didn't you turn her over to a policeman?
Well, I haven't your ice water in my veins.
Oh.
Then are you feeling better?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. There aren't many gentlemen as kind as you are.
I say, turn your face to the light, will you? No, to the light.
Don't let him hit me, sir. Please don't.
No, he's not going to hit you. He's an artist. They're all mad. Do you know what artists do?
Well, they draw things, don't they, on the sidewalk?
No, I've not risen to that yet. Look, what's your name?
Bessie.
Bessie what?
It's no use giving the rest. Bessie Broke, you can call me. Stony Broke, if you like.
All right, Bessie. Now, I'll give you £3 a week just for sitting still and letting me paint your picture.
Hello, this is new.
Yes, I'm going to show Maisie how to do a melancholia, Top. The real face of sorrow.
What's he talking about?
Marvelous eyes. Terror in them. Futility, despair. Give me a month, Bessie Stonebroke. 1 month and I'll make you immortal.
This is George Palmer Putnam again. Mr. Coleman has just signaled that he's ready to begin Act Two of my favorite story, Rudyard Kipling's famous novel, The Light That Failed. Our stars are Ronald Coleman, Edna Best, and Heather Angel. Now we return to the London studio of Dick Helda for Act Two.
Come on, Bessie, raise your chin a little.
I'm tired, Mr. Elder.
Tired? When all you have to do is sit there like a lady? For shame, Bessie. Come on, head up.
You don't think much of me, do you?
Well, that depends on how you behave.
You treat me like dirt. Mr. Torpenhow don't treat me that way. He makes me feel like a lady. He's a gentleman, Mr. Torpenhow is.
Yeah, he's a bad boy. Now, stop your prattling, Bessie, and keep your head up.
I'd never seen Dick work so strenuously in all my life. The fever of creation was upon him, and Bessie posed from sunrise to dusk. Oh, it was good to see her moving about the rooms as if they belonged to her. It gives a lonely man a sort of hankering. I began to think how nice it would be to have Bessie become a more or less permanent fixture in my life. And I suspect that Bessie was thinking the same thing. But Dick and my own common sense convinced me that it would be better if I went away for a while.
Where's Mr. Torpenhow today?
He's
Gone away.
You sent him away, didn't you?
Turn your face toward the window, please.
I know you did. Just because he was taking a little notice of me.
Yes, if you don't mind, I think we'd better take a little notice of the picture.
Picture? Picture? What do I care about your picture?
Oh, Bessie, I can't do any more today. My eyes are bothering me. You may as well run along home.
You got that headache again?
Yes.
Good. I hope it splits your skull.
That's right, Binky. Say thank you to the lady. Oh, these eyes of mine. Binky, we'll have to see a medicine man. We can't have our eyes interfered with, for by these we get our bread and mutton chop bones for little dogs. What's the verdict, Doctor? My business is painting and I've no time to lose.
Due to that head wound, you have symptoms of complete degeneration and decay of the optic nerve.
Resulting in?
Blindness.
Blindness.
Under these conditions, there's very little we can do.
How much time do I have?
About a year, if you take care of yourself.
And if I don't?
I really could not say.
Oh, Binky, where was Moses when the light went out? We've got it badly, little dog, just as badly as we can get it. Allah Almighty, help me through my time of waiting, and I won't whine when my punishment comes. That's better. Now, time is short. What can I do? Work. One good piece of work before the night closes in. All right, but what? No more soldiers. Oh, no. Death comes home too nearly, and this is battle and murder both for me. How about the melancholia? Yes, I've got to finish it. Yes, I can see it now. There'll be Maisie in the picture, because I'll never get Maisie. And Bessie, of course, because she knows all about melancholia. Although she doesn't know she knows. Yes, and she shall laugh right out of the canvas. That's it. That's it. I can do it now because I have it inside me. Bessie! Bessie, where are you, Bessie? We must work. Come on, hurry before the light goes.
I won't do it.
Come, get up in the chair, quick. Face toward the windows.
I can hardly stand being near you.
Oh, come on, now throw your head back and laugh.
I won't. I've had enough of this foolishness.
Oh, come on, Bessie. Throw back your head and laugh. Laugh.
I won't.
Laugh, Bessie, laugh.
I can't laugh. I can't.
I'm going to get it out of you if I have to tear it out. Look, it's good. It's so good that I couldn't do it often or I'd consider myself the equal of God and refuse to die at my appointed time. Why, you little fool, I'm giving you a soul on canvas. 100 years from now, they'll be looking at you when you're dust and water and a whisper of the wind, saying, that is sorrow, that is every sorrow. It's sorrow so deep, it's laughter. Come on, Bessie, throw back your head and laugh. Come on, laugh. Laugh, Bessie, laugh. More, more, come on. Laugh.
I'll kill you if you don't let me out of here.
Laugh. Come on, laugh. One more, Bessie. Laugh. Laugh. Laugh.
When I came back to London, I found our lodgings in a shambles. Bessie was on the edge of nervous collapse, and Dick, gaunt and unshaven, was hunched over his canvas on the brink of total blindness.
You see, Top, I had a job of work to do and so little time. But I've done it. And, oh, Top, I'm glad to see you.
Oh, Dick. Dick.
No, don't say it, Top. Look. Look at the picture.
What a face.
I've been down to hell to get her, but isn't she worth it? Isn't it thundering good? Allah Almighty, what couldn't I do in 10 years if I could do this now?
Amen. Here she is a beauty. I can feel it.
Yes, so will every man who has any sorrow of his own. He shall see his trouble there, and by the Lord Harry, just when he's feeling properly sorry for himself, he'll throw back his head and laugh, just as she's laughing. Put the life of my heart and the light of my eyes into her, and I don't care what comes now.
That night, after I'd gone to bed, and Dick had collapsed from exhaustion on the couch in his studio, Bessie crept up the stairs to our lodgings. She slipped in the door, pulled the canvas cover off Dick's painting of the Melancholia, and stood back, mocking it.
Laugh, Bessie. Laugh. Laugh.
She emptied a bottle of turpentine onto a dusting rag and wiped it across the face of the canvas, again and again and again, back and forth, until the picture was nothing but a senseless smear of sticky oil.
Laugh, Bessie. Laugh. Laugh.
Come here.
What's the matter, Dick? What is it?
Light the lamp, Torp. Quickly. It's so dark.
The lamp is burning. I've just turned up the wick.
I can't see. It's black, quite black. And I feel as if I were falling through it all.
Steady, Dick, steady.
That's right. If I keep very quiet, this darkness will lift. No. No, it won't. My God, I'm blind. And the darkness won't go away.
Lie down, old man, and don't let them think that you're afraid.
Yes, we mustn't let them think we're afraid, must we? All the powers of darkness and that lot. Torp, would you mind letting me hold on to you? One drops through the dark so.
I could think of only one way, really, to help Dick. And that was to bring him the only woman he'd ever loved. I found Maisie in the north of France where she was painting hopelessly bad pictures. And a day later, we were back in London. The meeting between Dick and Maisie was strange and quite formal.
Won't you sit down, Maisie? You see, I've had some bother with my eyes.
I know.
What are you doing here in London?
I came to see you.
That's very kind of you.
Dick, isn't there anything that I can do for you?
Oh, no, there's nothing, thanks.
I'll stay in England to do it if you like.
No, I can get on.
You don't hate me.
I hate you.
Oh, Dick, I'm so desperately sorry.
No, Maisie. Look, I have a picture to show you. You haven't seen my Melancholia.
Well, let me...
No, it's all right, I can find it by the feel of the frame. Ah, there she is. Ah. What do you think of her?
Why? I can't believe it.
Is it that good? You see what I mean about line work and all that? Stick to line, Maisie.
I see.
You're in it, too. Do you see yourself?
Yes. I see myself in all my futility.
Well, I think you've looked at it long enough. It's not a thing you can look at too long. It seems to strike everybody that way.
I thought that I'd done the finest thing in the world, bringing Maisie and Dick together again. I was sure it had solved everything, and when war broke out again in the Egyptian Sudan, I signed with the newspaper syndicate to go up the Nile with our troops and cover it. Dick wished me godspeed and assured me that Maisie would take care of his every want. I didn't know that he was lying, that Maisie had gone out of his life forever. When I went to Egypt, Dick was left alone in the darkness, and in the desperation of his loneliness, he sent for Bessie.
What a mess. You may be blind as a barn door, Mr. Elder, but it don't excuse you for looking like a chimney sweep. Oh, I'm sorry for you. I'm that sorry for you.
Thank you, Bessie.
What became of Mr. Torpenhauer?
He went away to the deserts.
Where's that?
Oh, east, out of the mouth of the river. Then south, to the end of the world.
How long have you been like this?
Since you left, Bessie. In fact, it happened that night we finished the painting.
Then you never seen it?
What?
After I wiped it out.
You... What? Say that again.
I rubbed it out with turps and the knife.
You...
I was awful angry with you, I was.
Isn't there anything left of it?
You won't... You won't hit me, will you?
Hit you? Yes. No. No. Let me think. That accounts for Maisie. She must have thought me mad. Great heavens, to think that a little piece of nothing like you could throw me out of my stride.
I ain't a little piece of nothing. And you got no right to call me that. I did it because I hated you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry now because, well...
Yes, I know, I know. You didn't know what you were doing, and you don't know what you've done now. Torp would understand. And I saved him from you. Oh, what presumption, what arrogance. Oh, how it serves me right. The Lord is a just and terrible God, Bess, with a very strong sense of humor. Did you ever go to Sunday school?
What are you talking about?
Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, and let me die with the Philistines. Now, Bessie, help me pack my things, show me to the bank and to the steamship offices, and then you can see me off at the pier.
Mr. Elder, where are you going?
East, out of the mouth of the river. Then west, then south, then east again. All along the underside of Europe. Then south again to the end of the world.
I saw Dick Heldar once again, on the last night of his life. Somehow, in spite of his blindness, he traveled all the way from England to the Egyptian Sudan. And somehow he found his way, on camelback, to the distant desert outpost where I was quartered. Oh, I saw him coming from afar off, and I could hardly believe my eyes. The scrub was alive with fuzzies, and Dick was a perfect target there in the moonlight. Dick! Dick!
Open how could he go?
This way, Dick! Here we are! Hurry, man!
Open how, hurry!
Get down, man! Get down behind that camel!
Open how, go!
Dick! Dick! Oh, it's a bad hit. Fred, I've got a doctor.
No, no, it's all right. I didn't want to be a bother, Torp, but I couldn't stay away.
Oh, Dick, does it hurt you?
No, no. Oh, Torp, it's good to be alive again. It's good to be...
You've been listening to Rudyard Kipling's The Light That Failed.
We have a guest star on Favorite Story next week, the young man who thrilled you as the little minister with Katharine Hepburn, and as the sergeant in the Broadway hit Voice of the Turtle, Mr. John Beale. He will play The Man Without a Country, a gripping story by Edward Everett Hale, chosen for you by the Theatre Guild's Teresa Helbin. It promises to be another distinguished occasion on our Favorite Story calendar. John Beale in The Man Without a Country. We hope you'll be listening.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture, and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
I offer information to all who heed. If a recuperation is your very first need, invest several dollars for peace and rest. Come to Shannon's place and be our guest. We've a reasonable hotel right on the bay. Features seafood marinated and filet. If keeping stomach happy you should chance to tire, just step to the beach, we've a boat for hire.
Hey, that's a neat pitch for a hotel if I ever heard one, Shannon. Where'd you find King Moses?
In a gin rummy game in Port-au-Prince, and knocked with three.
This is a new version of it, Joe. The last time Slate told it, he was sitting on the beach and a bottle washed up on the shore. He pulled out the cork, and there was King Moses. You were a lot smaller then, weren't you, King?
Oh, yes, Miss Taylor, I've grown.
Who put you in the bottle in the first place?
The wind. I was sitting there playing my guitar, and a hurricane came up. There just happened to be a bottle lying around.
Yeah, well, the way it really happened, Joe, was that...
I'll settle for the last one, Shannon. Now, what about it?
Well, I don't know. I admit it appeals to me, but diving for sunken treasure isn't exactly the way I want to make my way in life.
Well, he's not asking you to dive for anything, Slate. He just wants to use your boat. Isn't that right, Joe?
Sure. I'll do the diving, your boat, your equipment. We'll split whatever we find down the middle.
My equipment? I haven't had a diving suit since I lived in Hawaii.
That was the time when all the beach boys who dived for quarters almost starved. Slate stood on the bottom of the ocean in his diving suit and a large tin cup.
That's where I met Mr. Slate.
That's right. King Moses was making change.
May I say something?
Oh, please do.
I know where the Bark Hespides is. An old slaving ship returning from the Carolinas with gold. It sank. I know where it sank.
Where?
I've listened a lot, and I've got me a lot of old charts. I can draw an X on a map of the Caribbean, and that's where the Hespides is.
The lady asked you where.
Look. Off here, the smallest island on Portuguese Key. This reef we use as a mooring. Get a bow hawser on the reef point. Shall I go on?
Yeah, I like it.
Back off 300 feet, drop a stern anchor, and we're secure. Then climb into a suit and jump down. Just 20 fathoms down and gold.
Seeing you this way, Danny, talking to the seagulls, feeding them, one could think you were a man of kindness.
Yeah, would one, though? You bring a stale loaf of bread like I told you?
See? Here.
Break it up in little pieces for me, Filippo.
So it would be tempting to their digestive juices?
Just chock full of cute sayings, aren't you? Give it to me. Here, pretties. Feed your ugly faces. That's it. Fight for it, you feathered beasties. Fight for it. Look at them, Filippo. Cute, aren't they?
Because they are hungry?
Happens to all of us.
Soon maybe you have flaky pastries to feed your birds. They might kill each other for them. You'll like that, huh, Danny?
Yeah, I'll like. How are we doing with that part of it?
I'll follow this Joe Cowan like a stray dog. Into alleys, into gutters.
Had fun, huh?
He talks much of the sunken ship Hespides. Of the gold that lies in a rotting hulk for fishes to nibble on. But when I stroke his ear and whisper, where... You kick me and laugh.
Because you're a stray dog, Filippo.
I once was of dignity. I, too.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You were a big man in the deep-sea diving set, but you got the bend. Your lungs got tired. You're a cripple, Filippo. A cripple with an itching palm.
And you are a prize to be dishonorably discharged from the Navy? To gloat over hungry birds?
That's why all that gold cries out to us. Because we're cripples, you and me. We're not doing so good, huh, Filippo?
We're doing excellent. Only in the last hour, Cowan went into the hotel of Shannon. I think to hire Shannon's boat. I think to hire Shannon. Because he needs such things to gorge himself on what is in the Hespides.
Well, what do you know about that? Now maybe we can stroke Shannon's ear a little. Hand me some more of that bread, Filippo. I feel kindly toward things. Chow time, pretties.
And now, Mr. Shannon, for buying all this equipment from me, may I congratulate you?
Go right ahead.
I congratulate you.
I think he's got something else on his mind, Slade.
See, Now, what can it be? Is it possible? No. It is, senor, a feeling that you have forgotten something.
I don't see what. I've got the compressor, the lines, the diving suit, everything.
See, which means that now I have no compressor, no lines, no diving suit. Is that fair, I ask myself?
Something's awry, huh, Chico?
See, now it comes. Alakazam! You have not paid me.
Oh, we've done business before. Put it on the cuff.
But, senor, I cannot open the cash register. It is so stuffed with cuffs. White cuffs, pink cuffs.
I'll tell you what.
I listen.
If I make any money out of this trip, I'll give you 10%.
This is a modern way of payment?
Only squares use money. Think of what you can do with 10%.
I need some caulking compound, amigo.
Oh, see, your caulk is my command. It is in the back room. I will fetch it.
My, what a lot of equipment you got, mister. Going diving?
Uh-huh.
Diving for what?
Boiled shrimp.
With hot sauce.
Just asking. My, my, look at that. Real honest to Betsy deep sea stuff. What are you looking for, mate, Gold?
Slate, he's pinching the diving suit. Mother told me there'd be men like that.
You got a yen for diving gear, Buster?
For gold, huh? Lucky people. Need a hand?
Uh-uh.
For sunken gold. I'm nosy, curious, a dreamer. Tell me where so I can dream about it. Tell me.
Back up, friend.
Just whisper it. Come on. Come on, tell me or I'll...
Dream about it, Buster.
Is that gentleman lying there what we call a gentleman with gold fever, Slate?
Senor, senor, here's the compound for cocky. Yay! What you do lying on the floor?
He's got a split seam, Chico. Cork him. Let's go, sailor. What's the etiquette, sailor? How long does one wait for a tardy deep-sea diver?
How should I know? I've never been stood up by a man who wears a bubble on his head.
Now you have. How does it feel?
I feel like a girl with an empty deep-sea diving suit and nobody to shove into it. That's how.
You and me. We're wallflowers, sailor. We've been invited to a dance and nobody wants to waltz with us.
You'll show, Slate. If I know anything about men who get their kicks out of pacing the ocean floor looking for gold...
You know, when I was a kid, I used to tickle my feet with dreams like this. Gold in a sunken ship at the bottom of the Caribbean.
Let's go home, Slate. I'm tired. The Bold Venture's tired. It's all tired. All of it.
Maybe something happened to Joe. Maybe somebody got to him, like the guy who tried to get to me.
Yeah, maybe. That's why I want to go home. Come on, Slate. I'll buy you some gold-covered chocolates.
Or maybe he's celebrating. Joe's a guy who likes to celebrate for any excuse at all.
You're going to look for him, huh, Slate?
Yeah. How'd you guess?
I peeked through the hole in your head and saw the gold already folded in. Hurry back, Slate.
You lost, senor? We have many things in this place to make a man find himself.
Joe Cowan, is he here?
I have just made a pleasurable tour of inspection. Joe Cowan wasn't anywhere in it. Too bad for Joe.
Look, I'm asking in a polite way, Pedro. Has Joe Cowan been here?
See, many choruses ago. It was on this one he left us.
Did he tell you where he was going?
See, to the bottom of the ocean sea.
Did he tell you anything else?
Only that he would come back for the girl who is dancing there. Oh, look at her, senor. And wherever you go, you will come back too.
Yeah, I might at that.
Ask for Joe at Papa Gomez. Papa knows all the children of the barrio.
Yeah, I'll put in a good word for you, Pedro. And for her, too. She needs it.
You are Slate Shannon. Your name is whispered in the barrio, often.
By Joe Cowan?
By him also.
Well, then maybe he told you why he hasn't met me like he was supposed to.
Why you not go ask him yourself in the place where he sleeps?
That's what I've been yearning to do. For 4 hours now I've been yearning like that. Where does a man like Joe sleep?
The latest pillow is in a yellow house on Bolivar Street, number 8. This thing of you and Joe, My blessings, child.
Thanks, Papa. I may be able to use them. Joe! Joe, it's me! Slate Shannon, open up.
Enter, Slate Shannon.
Who are you?
Do as he says, Shannon. I got something that'll knock your eye out. This gun.
Well, it's the curious buster with the diving bug. How was it being unconscious? Did you dream?
Inside.
I must say it, Shannon. Your banging made almost enough noise to awaken the dead, but not quite.
What are you talking about?
Observe, please, the dirty couch. Then observe slightly on top of it. He is definitely dead, Shannon.
Yeah, mostly he doesn't breathe. You jealous, Shannon?
Why'd you kill him?
Once he was useful. Thus he lived long enough to tell us the position of the Hesperides. Under duress, I assure you. And thus his usefulness expired. And thus he died.
Meaning we're going diving, Shannon. Him, me, you, that dame, your equipment, your boat. Diving, splashing. Oh, I tell you, we'll have fun.
What do you think of it, Shannon?
Splashing too, huh? Well, the man's already said it. We'll have fun.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Feels good to have an old sea hand at your right hand, huh, Captain Shannon?
Couldn't live without it.
Hold the thought, kid, how you couldn't live without it. How you doing with the charts, Mr. Val?
I tried to eat them like you told me, Slate, but I don't know. I've lost my taste for old parchment. I'm just jaded, I guess.
Sailor Duval of the able body. The gun I hold on you don't make good sauce, does it, Candy Mouth?
Try me without it.
A promise I make to myself. Hey, Filippo! You've been gazing into the sea spaces long enough. Come up with something.
Wait! Wait! Portuguese key off Port Bow! Steady as she goes!
You made it, Captain. Now find the teeniest island, and I'll bet I'll find you a reef to moor my dreams to. Just like Dead Joey said.
Feel in your pockets, Danny boy, because you forgot something.
I got you, I got the charts, I got
everything but a diver. You broke Joe Cowan in two, remember? That makes this a twilight cruise. It's been fun, Danny boy, just like you said.
I remembered, Captain. I brought a diver.
Filippo, you won't send him down. He'd die before he found the gold.
Oh, Filippo found time to cry on your shoulder about his lungs, huh?
Yeah. Anyone else, it would have broken my heart.
I'll give you someone else. Shannon. And Shannon dives.
You're crazy. All I ever dove for was abalone or Santa Monica.
And two-bit pieces off the shores of Manacora.
That's why I got Filippo, to give you hints. Go hit the sack, Captain. Come daybreak, you'll need all your strength.
Slate, I've been watching you. Mind if I watch from up close?
Don't make me talk, sailor. I'm going to save up on my breath.
You could do that better if you slept.
So they tell me.
You'll die, Slate. They'll use you to bring up the gold. Then they'll let you die.
The thought has occurred to me. Where are the playmates?
They're asleep.
Well, don't you believe it, baby. Nobody sleeps on a night like this. Not you, not me, not them, nobody.
There must be a way. There must be.
I've been looking for it in the water, sailor. In the bright lights on the backs of the phosphorescent fish. So far, they haven't spelled out a word.
Try me, Slate. It's a word on my lips. Read it.
Yeah. Just the word I was looking for.
A very romantical picture you two make in the tropic moonlight.
What'd I tell you, sailor? Nobody sleeps.
You're wrong, Shannon.
Why'd you do that? He wasn't even...
Because I owed him one. Because he needs his sleep, Candy Mouth. Like I told him. I didn't think he'd need a gun butt to sing him a lullaby.
I'll kill you.
I could enjoy it from you. No? I'll just throw a blanket over him. I want him all tingly and refreshed in the morning.
Blake the air hose so it won't kink, Danny.
It's blaked.
You checked the air pump, the compressor?
10 times. I counted on my fingers.
The lifting gear, secure?
It's holding on for dear life.
How about me, Danny boy? Want to check me?
Filippo tells me you'll need a lifeline. I give it to you because Filippo tells me.
I'll never forget you for little things like this, Filippo.
The helmets and we are ready.
Wait. Come back to me, Slate.
Are you crazy? Where else have I got to come back to?
Come on, Shannon. Stuff your head into the steel balloon.
Anything for you, Danny boy. Let's check the intercom, shall we? Just for kicks. Hello? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, Shannon. Intercom okay. You are going over the side now. Okay, Danny. Shannon?
Yeah, Filippo, who'd you expect?
I give you your depth. Here comes 12 fathoms. Now.
Thanks a lot. Can't we go any faster? As long as I'm doing this, I'd like to have a little thrill.
Don't beg for it. It will come. You are safe at this speed, but no faster.
What's my depth now?
Here comes 14 fathoms. Now. How is it?
Never had it better. Lots of light. Very blue.
How's your air?
Lovely. How's yours?
The ship. Do you sight it?
Nothing. All I see is what's in front of my faceplate. I'm going round and round, real slow. The blue light. Pretty tropical plant. It's a world apart, Filippo. You don't know what you're missing. Hey. Hey, hold me up. Quick, hold me up.
Trouble?
Big trouble. A manta ray, a killer, is coming for me. Hold me up. Up.
Shannon, if he's seen you, it's too late.
Up, up.
You have a knife, Shannon. Use it. Use it.
It's you or me, killer. Okay, Shannon. Let's see how good you are against a manta ray.
There he is, Filippo. Give me a hand with him.
Be gentle with him, can't you?
It is touching, Miss Duval, your concern for perhaps a dead man. But you are in the way.
Yeah, let's get with that helmet.
Let me help.
As you wish it.
Breathing. Slate. Slate, speak to me. Are you all right?
How'd you get inside this manta ray, sailor?
So that blood that came to the top was the rays. I'm happy for you, Shannon. Take a small rest, then you will try the ocean again.
How is it down there, Shannon?
Good footing. Give me more line. I want plenty of slack in both my line.
You heard him. Give him line.
Miss Duval.
What do you want?
Shut up.
There's something ahead. Wait.
What is it, Shannon? Shannon, what do you see? Can you hear me?
Give me that phone. Slate. Slate, what's the matter?
Hi, sailor. I found me a boat.
I will take it. The phone, Miss Duval.
It's the Hesperides, all right. There's the name.
Very good, Shannon. Can you get on deck?
Sure, she's lying on her side. Looks like the boat split in the middle, amigo. Half of it's gone.
The gold was in the cabin. What of the gold?
Well, now, take it easy, will you?
Shannon, the gold! Shannon!
You want gold, Filippo? I've got it.
Put it on the platform, friend of mine, and send it up to me.
Uh-uh.
Do not be a fool. I can cut your airline.
One in gun at a time, Filippo, so I'll know I'll be alive for the next one.
Shannon, I will cut the...
No, you won't. Then you wouldn't know where your next in gun is coming from. Haul up the platform, amigo.
He didn't do so good, did he, Filippo? 6 lousy lumps of gold.
You should have your lumps like that every day.
Now, if I am correct, Shannon, You say we must return to Havana for more equipment.
That's right.
So you two fellows drop us off at Havana, hire yourselves another boat, and go golding all by yourselves.
Get her, comedian. Go wash your face, comedian. It's dirty.
Come up forward, Shannon. I want to talk to you. Things, what we shall need to salvage the rest of that gold. Take the wheel, Danny.
Right.
First of all, we're going to need an awful lot of dynamite.
Hi, Danny. Want to wash my face for me?
Would you hold still?
If you were gentle. Are you gentle, Danny?
Want to try?
Think of what the rest of our passengers would say.
Yeah, they'd talk.
If they could, they would.
You kill me.
That's not the idea. I'm talking about Shannon.
Uh-huh.
Shannon will relieve Filippo at the wheel at 4 bells this morning. I'll wake Shannon. Stand at the wheel with him. Put my arms around him. Say something nice to him that'll make him warm. A knife in his back could put an end to it all. Maybe you can do the same to Filippo later.
If you're anxious for me, Candy Mouth, why don't I do it while he's asleep?
Take the chance if you want. But maybe Shannon won't sleep.
You're an education, baby. Something a man needs to get ahead.
Beautiful night, isn't it, Filippo?
Miss Duval, what are you doing here?
Right now, admiring the way you handle the wheel.
Get below. Wake Mr. Shannon. It is his turn at the wheel.
After all I've done for you, look what I brought you.
What?
Me and Slate's pea jacket. To keep you warm. Put on the jacket. Go ahead. Put it on.
Very well. Your sudden concern amazes me.
And my arm around your shoulder. What's your reaction to that?
Amazement.
Filippo.
Yes?
Hold me.
My dear.
Hold me. Hold me.
Ah, you set him up pretty, Candy Mouth. Hey, the Candy Mouth, come back here. Okay, I'll throw him in the ocean myself.
Slate, are you up?
Huh? What's the matter?
Don't talk. Just listen to me. Danny just stabbed Filippo. He thought it was you.
Let's get out of here. Get back on deck.
Hey, this is Filippo. You tricked me.
There he is by the wheel.
Listen to me, sailor.
I'll get you, both of you.
Crawl forward along the starboard side. Circle around and grab the wheel.
But he's standing there, Slate.
I'll draw him away from the wheel. When I yell, grab that wheel and spin it hard. And open up the throttle.
Aye, aye, skipper.
You looking for me, Danny?
Yeah, I am.
Come and get me.
That's what I'm doing. You're shark bait, Shannon.
Prove it to me.
Yeah, I will. I work good with a knife, you'll see.
Show me. Sailor! Where's your balance, kid?
Shannon!
So, you got no foundation. Sailor.
You're my boy.
I'll take the wheel now.
Let's pull up to the curb for a minute.
Later, sailor. When we get home.
Slate.
Yeah?
What are you looking like that for?
I'm trying to figure you, sailor. I'm trying to figure why you ran to the Cuban officials and told them where the Hespides was located. And why did you give them those 6 gold ingots?
5 gold ingots.
Oh, you held one back. Show it to me.
Uh-uh. I put it in my hope chest.
What else you got in your hope chest?
1 doily.
What kind of a hope chest is that? 1 doily and 1 gold ingot.
It'll build.
Come here, sailor. I did that even though you stole. I forgive you for it.
Come here, Slate. I forgive you, too.
For what?
I looked in my hope chest a few minutes ago. All I've got is 1 doily.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Favorite Story, Bold Venture, past episodes of the Relic Radio Show, and everything else Relic Radio at RelicRadio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is there as well. And you can donate through the website if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.